Thank you, praise team. In this new year, I challenge you to every week find new things to set your faith upon. Some people do not understand that your faith can grow dormant and your faith can become docile and without power. Now, the men of valor putting a copy of Psalms 138. I will praise you with my whole heart in the presence of other gods. Wait a minute, Pastor Jim. I don't have other gods around me. Yeah, you do. It may be your job. It may be your new car. It may be somebody that you've lost your heart to. But there are things that you worship in your life. And if you don't believe you do, just watch what happens if somebody tries to take them out of your life. But he says, I will praise you with my whole heart in the presence of other gods. What does that say? I have to make a conscious effort to elevate God above everything else that's vying for my attention and affection. I choose to sing praises unto you. Wait a minute. It's a choice to praise God in songs. I choose to sing praise unto you. I will worship in the direction of your holy temple. Pastor, does that mean 817 West Howard Lane? No. When David wrote this, they would worship towards the temple that had been built for God. But now you're the temple built towards God. And so what does it mean to worship in the direction of your holy temple? I'm going to worship you, God, in such a way it builds me up that I can represent you properly in public. And I'll praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified your word even higher than your name. You've told me what I can hold on to get what I want. A lot of people are still praying stupid, religious, uninformed prayers. They think they can pray anything, and as long as they say, in Jesus' name, that makes it legitimate. But the Word of God never said that. Yes, Pastor Jim, I can show you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Yeah, but do you understand Scripture? His name was Redeemer. And what he was saying there, not whatever you ask and just stick Jesus on the end of it, I'll give it. Whatever you ask for the purpose of redeeming man and creation. Well, Pastor, that limits it then pretty well. No. Determined to redeem you a new Cadillac out of the world system and into the kingdom of God. So it's running around with praise the Lord on the bumper instead of let it all hang out. Are you listening, church? The world needs to see you living rich. No, Pastor Jim, I'm be content for just a little tent by the river as long as I can praise the Lord. Oh, shut up, fool. You know you can praise God better in 13,000 square feet. 14-foot ceilings. So when you go, hallelujah, there's a reverberation and echo. You know you're in a tent by the river. You don't even say hallelujah. You down there go, I'm suffering for Jesus. I can take it. I can't. I don't want to. It's time for you to get your glory on. But a good prayer for you to start not just reading, but breaking it down like we were just doing. For you have magnified your word even higher than your name. If I got your word on it, I don't need to pray some silly prayer and put in Jesus' name on it. I can just quote your word to you. And you said, remind me of my word. So I'm going to remind you of your word. And then I'm going to say, Father, now that I got your word on it, it's settled. I will not ask you to do it. I'm thanking you that you have. Because if I have your word on it, it's already done. But I wanted you to have this. Take time to meditate it. Take time to let it become a part of structuring your prayer life, because the way you look at God determines how you'll be blessed. Now, today we're talking about the two sides of faith. The two sides of faith. I find it amazing that people who cannot quote two passages of Scripture on positive faith always can come at you with Paul's thorn in the flesh. They may not know any other Bible, but they have determined to know about Paul's thorn in the flesh. You know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed to God three times to heal him, and God wouldn't do it. That's a lie of the devil. In your New Testament, there are two words which are both translated flesh. One word means carne, flesh, the actual stuff you pinch. The other, sarx, does not refer to your physical at all. It applies to the emotional you. You see, we understand terms sometimes. That just ticks me off. Well, some people get a mental picture of, you know, this insect being pulled from your skin. Some people get a mental image of a clock ticking me off. Some people with weird relatives get an image of, because they had an uncle with a tick. What does it mean that just ticks me off? It depends on how you're looking at it. But understand this. When Paul was talking there and said, I had this problem. He didn't say I had a physical problem. He said I had a emotional problem. It was affecting my psyche. And he said there, not has been giving me a headache, a backache, an eye, a messenger of Satan. Right. Now, what is a messenger of Satan? That's one of them lying imps that sits on your shoulder and goes, hey, John, nobody likes you today. And he said, lest I be exalted in the revelation I've gotten, there was given me a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, what does that mean? You know what it means. I don't have to explain it to you, but just in case you're on pause or checking your emails, what that means is this. You know that you have gotten revelation that is greater than any other apostle or disciple of your day. You know that you're teaching things that even the head of the church, Peter, says, look, I know you're asking me about what Paul had to say. I don't understand it myself, but I know it's gospel. Yeah. Now, when you have revelation that's deeper than the head of the church, yes, then you know I know more than number one knows. So what was given to Paul to keep him from getting puffed up? You know you've met that demon. You ain't nothing. You ain't all that. I told my family the other day I was going to a funeral at a church here in Austin one day. And I was walking in and they had a bunch of the sisters that was greeting people as they was coming in. I'm walking into the church and one looked at me and she says, are you all that? And I just looked back, said that and more, and just kept walking. I wasn't sure how to handle a greeting like that. You're walking into a funeral, somebody goes, are you all that? And yeah, I'm all that and more. But when you take Scripture in context, Paul said, I've got this great revelation, and to keep me from getting the big head over it, a messenger of Satan has been sent to knock me down. Oh, you ain't nobody. You ain't nothing. You might have deep revelation, but Peter preaches in more churches than you do. They can tell you 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, "For this I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me," not sickness, it, the demon that keeps telling me I'm nobody. "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient." He didn't say no. He said you can get rid of it the same way you got saved. "For by grace are you saved through faith." They can tell you all about that, but they can't tell you about 2 Timothy that says, "For out of them all the Lord delivered me." Yes. No, he had an eye condition that he never did get healed from. Whoever lied to you with that mess, go slap them. "I give thee permission, yea, verily, go slap at them." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. "But out of them all, the Lord delivered me." How could he be sure of that? Because Psalms 34:19, "Many the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." For someone to tell you that there's something happened and the Lord didn't heal you, the Lord didn't deliver you, is for them to say God's word is a lie. Remember, we're back to motive, why you're saying, why you're doing, why you're believing. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. "For the scripture says, whoever believeth on the Lord shall not be brought to shame, will not suffer defeat in the matter he brings to the Lord." Amen. Oh, church, God said, whoever believes on the Lord, you know, the Lord you believed on to get born again, who is the Lord of heaven and earth, death, hell, sickness, and the grave. If you believe on him, you will not be brought to the shame of suffering loss in that. But James, you'll get what you were believing God for. Amen. Now we're going to the message today, the two sides of faith. Pastor, I didn't know there's two sides of faith. Yes, we were just discussing it, but we're going to make it more clear now. There are two sides to faith. One is positive, one is negative. And just as I said earlier, there is more negative faith in the church, unfortunately, than there is positive, because there are people who can give you all the scriptures on why they can't get healed, get filled with the Holy Spirit, get this, get that, because they have spent time finding scriptures to prop up their unbelief.
All right, yeah.
I have spent time finding scriptures to empower my belief, because I ain't propping up nothing. I'm resting in the Lord and in his goodness. For our memory text today, we'll turn to Kenneth Hagin, 11:23. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall," what?
Say.
That's one. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he
saith,
shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he
saith."
Now, do you notice there's saying three times for every one time it says believe?
Right.
Why? What you say controls your life. A prophet of old said, "I'm ensnared by the words of my mouth." Church, I want you to get something this morning, and I will quote from the great prophet Bob Dylan. You got to serve somebody. It may be the Lord or it may be the devil, but you got to serve somebody. Love that song. And every day, whether you're conscious or cognizant of it or not, you're serving somebody. The good of God or the evil of the devil. To quote the great philosopher Flip Wilton, the devil made you do that. Why? Because you wasn't smart enough not to let him. There are people who have more negative faith than the average believer has positive faith. And they work at their faith, finding reasons not to believe. And most of those reasons begin with imagination, because they are seeing things through their defeatist eyes. And even if they looked at the same thing a person with positive vision looks at, they couldn't see it the same way. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Everyone has faith of one kind or another. The types of faith one exercises determines the things that can come into their life. You are the prophet of your future. And you are determining your tomorrows with the words of your today. Some think of faith as only good, godly, an act of trust. But the Word of God says demons believe and tremble. James chapter 2, verse 19. So if demons believe strong enough to tremble, then demons can have faith in their own destruction. Wait a minute, Pastor Jim. Are you telling me that demons have faith in their own destruction? Yes. They know of God. They're just trying to get in as many hits as they can before they go down. You ever get in a, well, maybe not. Get in a fight with somebody and they say, you may whip me, but I'm going to make you pay for it. They've already accepted the fact I'm going to beat the snot out of them, but they're going to get in a few good licks before they go down. It's much easier to fight that fight than other fights, because they've already accepted your victory. They're just hoping to hurt you a little on their way down. There's folks in the church that way. Devil, you may beat me with this flu, cold, whatever. From this moment forward, every time a thought comes to you about a fellow believer who is going through a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial trial, I want you to curse it. I curse that thing attacking sister. I curse that thing attacking brother. I cast it down, decree it null and void effect. What are you doing? You're exercising your faith. The more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. With every remembrance of you, Paul said, with every remembrance of you, I give thanks unto my God. Well, I want you to start every time you remember. You know, Brother Jim, I'm concerned about so-and-so. Well, how are you praying about so-and-so? I call them the healed of the Lord. I decree that no weapon formed against them will prosper. I break, curse, and cast out every tongue rising against them in judgment. I say they are the redeemed of the Lord, and whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. You see, there's power in agreement. If all of us be agreeing, some of us won't be suffering. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, you can believe a lie and be damned by believing that lie. A lot of people believe they're not able to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and so they're damned with not being able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are people that believe God will heal Brother Jim, but he won't heal me. And they are damned with sickness because they believe God treats some people different than he treats them. Get this, Jack. God treats everybody the same. He's no respecter person. If God is going to bless David, he'll make the same blessing available to Wally. Why? Because all his blessings are in his word. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, the devil seeks whom he may devour. How does the devil know he can devour you? Do some people walk around with a sign going, eatable, digestible, offer no resistance? No, the devil listens to your mouth. And he goes around seeking whom he may devour, and you're telling him with the words of your mouth, I am devourable. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. Oh, they went to church and got healed. I went to church three times and got sicker. Devil goes, prime target. Guard your mouth. But guard your heart more. Because your heart empowers your mouth to speak. The devil goes about seeking whom he may devour. What does the devil look for? Negative faith. Because he can work where there's negative faith. What does God look for? Your Bible tells you the ear of the Lord is toward the earth to make record of them that speak of his goodness. Now, this just tells me one thing. The devil got a book and God got a book. Whose book are you in? If the devil goes about listening to your mouth to find out if he can kick the snot out of you or not, and God goes about listening to the words of your mouth to see if he can bless you, who are you empowering with your mouth? You got to serve somebody. It may be the Lord or it may be the devil, but you got to serve somebody. Nobody is in neutral. One more time. Ain't nobody in neutral. You're glorifying God or you're empowering the devil. Something coming out of your mouth moving somebody. In Genesis chapter 3, Eve put faith in the devil's lies, and the devil's lies defeated her with her faith. She believed a lie and was damned because of it. And the human race. In Romans chapter 1, y'all don't mind if I grab my Bible for a second. In every life, there has to be a foundation. That foundation is faith. Everyone has it. It's just some have positive faith and some have negative faith. You've met people that no matter what happened, they would find a problem with it. Yeah, I got a raise, but I'm probably not going to be able to keep it. They'll probably next week, you know, announce that they're doing layoffs and all of us higher paid people will get laid off. They probably just gave me a raise in time to fire me. There are people that think that way. Yeah, I was talking about you. Develop a foundation of total trust in God. Psalms 11, verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Pastor, what does that mean? If I don't have a foundation of total trust in God in me, I can be knocked around anytime. I've got to decide that God's word is true, God is just, and I am the redeemed of the Lord. Now, in Romans chapter 1, let's start at verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Pastor, what are we talking about here? The foundation that you've got to have of positive faith. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Yeah, Pastor Jim, that's them four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Them's the Gospels. No, they're not. What is the gospel? The good news. What good news? You see, you've got to get this foundation of positive, accurate faith in you, or everything else is subject to being shaken. He said, if the foundation can be destroyed, there ain't nothing a believer can do. And there's one foundation, and I find it amazing that most of the church, and all of my questions right now are rhetorical, so you don't have to answer to me, but you will later to life. I'm just saying this. Most people in the church do not know the very foundational principle of the gospel. Well, Jesus was born in Nazareth. No, he wasn't in Bethlehem. He was from Nazareth.
Right.
And he was born in Bethlehem because that's where all of the sacrificial lambs were raised. So he had to be born there in the place of lambing to confirm the law. But church, what is the gospel? Well, that's what Jesus preached. No, it's not. Jesus never preached the gospel. He preached a gospel of the kingdom. But a gospel of the kingdom won't get you born again. There's only one gospel that gets you born again. Now understand this. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It was available to the Jews, but they didn't grab it. Because they didn't, now it's available to the Gentiles. And he said, the gospel is the power of God to you. So if Richard knows what the gospel is, then that will produce power in his life. Because he said, the gospel is power to them that believe.
Yes.
But Pastor Jim, what is the gospel? It ain't Jesus came in the flesh. But that's a part of the gospel. What is the gospel then? The gospel is this. Paul said, if Christ be not risen from the dead, then is our gospel in vain. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, what does that mean? That he was actually raised from the dead, Lord triumphant over Satan, hell, death, sin, sickness, disease, poverty. What is the gospel? The gospel is this. If he wasn't raised from the dead, there isn't a gospel. So the gospel then must be the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without it, we had a prophet who came and got killed. Every religion got a prophet that came and got killed. But only one religion got a gospel that had a prophet that came, got killed, and conquered death. I told you the story of the first time I had a demon speak out of someone to me. The demon spoke out of a 17-year-old girl and said to me, you can't have her, she's mine. And it wasn't a 17-year-old girl's voice that was saying it. And when he said that, God quickened me. And without even thinking, I responded, my elder brother, the Lord Jesus, the Christ, and has descended into the pit, triumphed over you, took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and was raised from the dead, triumphant over you. And the demon screamed out, don't say that. So being a gentleman, I said it two more times. I said it three times. And saw her set free. Why? The gospel. My elder brother, Jesus the Christ of Nazareth, descended into the pit, triumphed over you, taking back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and was raised triumphant. And the demon shrieked, don't say that. Why? That's the gospel. So when I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, what I'm believing is he won every battle, conquered every foe, and defeated sin, sickness, disease, poverty, fear, grief, sorrow, all of those things for me. He defeated everybody that's ever got anybody out of joint and everything that was ever evil in the earth. He defeated it, but he didn't defeat it in suffering where religion likes to live. Suffering for Jesus. Some people like to tell you all their suffering. I've been suffering under this for 30 years. Glory be to Jesus' holy name. Well, if you want to glorify his name, quit suffering under it and kick the snot out of it. Get this, church. God wants you healed. He wants you saved. He wants you happy. He wants you rich. He wants you representing him. Silver and gold have I none. Well, I'll get happy with you about that when you can say to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Because, hon, you got to have something working for you besides grief and sorrow. Positive faith says, I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. Negative faith finds a reason not to believe. Well, you know, I know somebody that believed that and they died. Well, I know somebody that believed that and they lived. But Paul said, the power of the gospel is the resurrection. And if there wasn't a resurrection, then our believing in our gospel is in vain. What is the gospel? The second Adam, Ben Adam, came in the flesh, lived a life of total trust in God, died in faith, believing that God would resurrect him, and God resurrected him from the dead, conquering death, hell, and the grave, because when all the evil of all the world was arrayed at one time against him, it wasn't enough to stop one word of God again. Thou shalt be unto me a son. And in that moment, death, hell, and the grave were ruptured, and he burst forth triumphant as Lord over them. You see, the gospel is not complete until he's enthroned. The gospel is not complete until he's enthroned. If your gospel is simply Jesus died for my sins, you ain't got no gospel. Because not only did he die for your sins, he was resurrected for your right standing with God. He was raised, the Bible says, for your justification. What does that mean? Just as if I had never sinned. Just as if I had never fallen short. Just as if I had never done nothing wrong. Now, when we get that, that makes us bold. We can be bold in the face of the devil. Why? I'm justified. What does justified mean? I'm clean, lean, and mean. Ain't no sin on my life. Because he was resurrected. If he be not raised, then there is no resurrection of the dead, and our gospel is in vain. Get a hold of this today, church. The whole foundation I want to stand on, was he raised from the dead or not? If he was, then there isn't anything in hell big enough to stop a word of God. Because what resurrected from the dead? His purity, his holiness, his righteousness? No. Get this. Don't let the devil steal from you. Jesus did not raise himself from the dead. If that same spirit, the spirit of truth, Jesus named him. His name ain't Holy Ghost. Jesus said, and he, the spirit of truth, he named him. When he has come, he'll lead you and guide you in all truth, and he'll show you things to come. His name is the Spirit of truth. Thy word, O God, is truth. He's the Spirit of God's word. And God's word said, again, thou shalt be my son. And the Spirit of truth acted on that word. And that tells me that the Holy Spirit's waiting for a word out of my mouth so he can act on it.
Come on.
But then, the devil's waiting for a word out of my mouth so he can act on it. I want you to get this. I got some notes up here, but if I stick with them, we may be here till lunch 30. And I know some of y'all want out of here at a quarter to lunch, so you can race the Baptist to Luby's. Used to race them to Furs, but then the president of Furs committed suicide in a motel room, stabbed himself 11 times with a knife. Dangdest case of suicide they'd ever seen in New Braunfels. That's not a joke. That's true. You got to have a strange police force. We found the president of Furs in a motel room, and he was stabbed 11 times. Dangdest case of suicide we ever saw.
Wow.
My head's still tilted from that one. I want to show you negative and positive faith in a clear illustration. The wilderness. God comes and says, "Hey, y'all, I got a promised land for you." You see, just like God said to us, he has a promised land for us called heaven. He said to them, "I got a promised land for you. It's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you cities you didn't build, houses you didn't build, vineyards you didn't tend, orchards you didn't plant. I'm going to give you crops. I'm going to give you the people that did the work to work for you while you live in their houses and enjoy their cities." And the people said, "Fat chance." Yeah, it's like the winning lottery ticket or something. Ain't never going to happen. Moses says, "Let's check it out. You guys, go over there and come back and tell us about the people that live there. I mean, after all, if we're going to have them as help, we need to know what the help is like." And they came back. And how many of them had a good report?
Two.
How many of them had a bad report?
Two.
So it wasn't an even dozen, was it? Two had a good report. 10 had an evil report. The children of Israel went with the majority opinion. Well, you know, Pastor Jim, the majority is always right. Majority is hardly ever right. Because there's more fools out there than there are smart people. Pastor, can you prove that? Yes. The people who are smart enough to succeed comprise 1% of our population. How much of our population is on welfare? 47%. Let's see, 1%, 47%. I think smart's better. Two of them came back and said, "We can handle it. We're well able to take the land. Yeah, there's giants over there. Anak's in the land. Anak mean I ain't going to be back. I seen them and I ain't coming back. They too big." Two guys said, "Yeah, there's big boys over there, but the bigger they are, the harder they fall. We can handle it." 10 of them said, "We were as grasshoppers in their sight." Wait a minute. What, did you stop a giant and go, "How do I look to you?"
That's how they saw themselves.
Their opinion, their motivation of themselves, they projected on the giants. Can I take you to Paul's writings on this? "Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to." Yes, Pastor Jim, keep it down. No, no, no. He said, keep it up. He said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. He said, you ought to think pretty highly of yourself.
Yes. Yes.
Hon, if you don't love you, ain't nobody else going to.
Right. Right.
Well, Pastor Jim, I got a problem with that. Well, then you got a problem with Jesus, because he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You got to love you first for anybody else to love you. If you don't love you, nobody else going to.
That's right.
I like me. I've known me a long time. Now, I don't know anybody I trust more than me. I've been through hell with me. I had my back against the wall with me. I know me. I'm good people. Do you feel that way about you?
Amen.
You need to.
Yes.
Say this with me. I am.
Good people.
I like me.
I forgive me.
For not living up to my expectations. But I'm going to do better. Because I know me. I'm capable of better. So Joshua and Caleb came back and said, yeah, they're big. I give you that. But we can handle it. Ain't no thing. 10 of them said, we are as grasshoppers in their eyes. We know what they're thinking. You know one of the biggest causes for your foundation to be shaken? Thinking you know what others are thinking. The truth is, if you knew how weird other people was thinking, you wouldn't even be thinking about what they're thinking. Someone said to me once, they were telling God, I know what they're thinking. And God said, you don't have any idea what they're thinking. You see, God is so good, he'll tell you how dumb you are without saying, you dumb. He just says, you don't have any idea what they're thinking. But if you find yourself continually trying to project what you think someone else is thinking, you got too much time on your hands. Now, the two spies, God said they came back with a what kind of report? And the 10 came back with what kind of report? Two of them's report inspired positive faith. 10 of them's report inspired negative faith. Two of them's report empowered God on their behalf. We're well able. 10 of them's report empowered the devil on their behalf and said, we as grasshoppers in their eyes. Yeah, there's milk and honey over there. There's a lot of good stuff over there, but there's a fly in the ointment. And because of that, for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. But at the end of 40 years, there was two out of that crowd of people who got to go into the promised land. They were Joshua and Caleb, the two who had a good report. Their good report carried them for the balance of the 40 years. Brought them into the promised land. Joshua is leading the group. And Caleb says, I want me a mountain. But do you remember the story? What did Joshua say to him? Joshua says to Caleb, let me check your faith. Let me check your faith. Josh, there's giants on the mountain.
Yes, sir.
What was he doing? Well, you had a faith report, you know, 30 years ago.
Let's see if it's the same.
30 years ago, you said you could take the giants. You said the God that's with us is more strong than those that will be against us. We can handle it. Right. So Joshua says, see if your faith's still up. Faith check. There's giants on that mountain. He said, bring them on. I'm well able to take that mountain. Wednesday night, I ask you, why was it that Caleb got the most expensive real estate in the land? Because he had faith in God that lifted him to the heights. You want to live in the high places? Then get the Caleb kind of faith that says, we may be outnumbered, they may be bigger, they may be badder, they may have a worse reputation, but we got God.
Amen.
If he be not risen, then our faith. Gospel, our faith, our trust is all in vain.
Yes.
But he is risen, and the power of our gospel is our God didn't stay dead because even the final enemy couldn't conquer him. And if he conquered death, hell, and the grave, a $3 raise is nothing. If he conquered death, hell, and the grave, a new car is nothing. If he conquered death, hell, and the grave, being set free from that physical infirmity that's trying to steal your covenant of health. Get this. No believer is ever the sick trying to get well. Friday they're the healed, and the devil is trying to defeat their covenant of health. And you got to go, no, I ain't having this mess. I'm the healed of the Lord. I was healed 2,000 years ago, and this lie is leaving my body. But you don't stop there. Then you've got to celebrate what you believe. Because what you can celebrate, you can possess. Father, I thank you that I'm the healed of the Lord. I know this lie is still present in my body. But from this day forward, I'll awaken every day to celebrate my health. I am the healed of the Lord. You see, sometimes hidden over in one corner is that little vestige of unbelief that's going, but what if you die with this? In that moment, if you answer, well, then God will be glorified in my dying, you're a fool and you've been deceiving yourself all the time. You ain't believing at all. Because if death is still an option, you're not in faith. Because if he be not risen, then sickness, death, all that hadn't been conquered. But if it's been conquered and you're a joint heir of his inheritance, then you've already conquered death, hell, sickness, the grave, poverty, lack, fear, doubt, unbelief. Don't let your foundation be shaken. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I am sickness free because of the liberty he bought for me in resurrection. And this lie is leaving my body. I serve an eviction notice. Get out. So Joshua checks Caleb out. You was believing bad 30 years ago. You still got it? You want that mountain? There's giants in the mountain. Bring them on. I was 40 back then. I'm 84 now, but I'm well able to take my mountain. Bring on the giants because I'm bad. That bad is spelt resurrection life. There's positive faith and there's negative faith. The negative faith outnumbered the positive faith, 10-2. And yet, those of the positive faith still got to inherit the promise. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap whatever seeds you've planted. If you don't lose heart, faint, throw in the towel and quit. I've got 6 pages of notes here today. We've already got to the first page. But I want you to get this. The power of your ability to believe is he resurrected or not? If he is resurrected, then all of sin, all of sickness, all of disease, all of hell itself arrayed against him at one time was not enough to stop the word of God that raised him from the dead. He didn't raise himself from the dead. The Word raised him from the dead. If the Word raised him from the dead, when all of hell and all the demons and Satan himself was sitting on him trying to keep him down, then this little 10-minute imp that's been bugging me ain't going to keep me down, because if he is resurrected, I'm empowered. But not me personally. My ability to access a promise of his word is empowered. Because he went to the grave expecting, thou will not allow my flesh to see corruption. And he put his faith in God's word, and the word resurrected him from all of hell arrayed against him at one time. Hell ain't got enough time to all be arrayed against you today. It's got to, you know, mess with him and her a little. So you only got part of what the word resurrected him from. Probably just a smidgen.
Wow.
And yet, when all of hell's resources was focused on one target, the Word of God was more powerful. Oh, Raymond, I'm getting excited just thinking about the Word of faith. The Word of truth. The Word of your empowerment. I've got some good stuff someplace in these notes. Faith is never in neutral. It is either in drive, positive, or it's in reverse, negative, because you're either gaining ground or losing ground with your faith. Well, we covered the story from Numbers chapter 13. Why could Israel not occupy the promised land when it was first presented to them?
Unbelief.
But was it the giants in the land that kept them out, or the giants in their heart? Because you see, Caleb whipped the giants by himself and took his mountain. So it wasn't the giants of the land that kept them out. It was the giants of unbelief in their heart. What's keeping you from being rich? It's not the giants of the finances of the world system. It's the giants of how you see yourself. But you see, you were judged with him. You were crucified with him. You were buried with him. You were resurrected with him. You were seated with him. Five truths that change your world. If he be not risen, then our faith is in vain and the gospel ain't the gospel. But if he is risen, then not only was I judged with him, not only was I crucified with him, buried with him, resurrected with him, I'm seated with him. If I'm seated with him, then the foundation of my faith is he and I are one. As he is, so am I in the earth. So if I am as he is, ain't nothing in hell that is a threat to me, is it, Gail? That's a beautiful thought, Rudy. Ain't nothing in hell that's a threat to me. It's only what's in my heart that's a threat to me, because it wasn't the giants of the land that kept Israel out. It was the giant of unbelief, the way they saw the giants. Because the two who saw the giants as conquerable got the promise. Oh, church, you're either not listening or you just passed up an excellent chance to celebrate God. The giant of lack can't keep you captive when you recognize the Word is risen.
All right. Amen.
The giant of sickness can't keep you captive when you recognize the Word is risen.
Yes, sir. That's it. Amen.
The giant of fear, doubt, and unbelief can't keep you captive when you recognize the Word is risen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and the Word was judged, and the Word went to the cross, and the Word went to the grave, and the Word went to the place of torment, and the Word was resurrected triumphant. Amen. Therefore, I and the Word, Patrick, can win every time.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, the Word in you, the Word for you, the Word with you will cause you to triumph in every situation. I know there was something good in these notes I probably missed. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Wait. What was the condition to get in the land? If the Lord delight with us. If the Lord delight... The joy, delight of the Lord is your strength, your positive faith. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So if the joy of the Lord is your strength, then by making a faith stand, Joshua and Caleb made God happy. Oh, this week I want you to make God happy, and I want you to make a faith stand. It may be health, wealth, joy, peace. It may be whatever, but I want you to make a faith stand. But I want your faith to be not in it's possible. It can happen again. Not even if somebody, why not me? I mean, that's good, but there's something more powerful than that. If he be not raised, then our faith and our gospel ain't nowhere. But since he is raised, our faith and our gospel is everywhere. Everything. So because he's risen, ain't nothing I can't have if it's in the book. He became poor that you might become rich. Are you rich? Don't let him die in vain. I'm rich and I'm going to richer. In fact, I'm looking for more richest yet. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I refuse to be bound by anything that tries to bind me. Why? Because the Word has been resurrected. The Word has stood the test of hell being arrayed against it. When I believe right in line with God said, I win, I prevail, I overcome. My life experience rise and fall to my level of expectation. When I believe right, in line with God said, I win, I prevail, I overcome. My life experiences rise and fall to the level of my expectations. Whenever I believe in line with the Word, I experience success. Why? Because the Word has already conquered hell. Sickness, disease, poverty. People sometimes fail because they prepare to fail through fear, doubt, unbelief. No desire to rely on what is true. All of the people who didn't believe God died in the wilderness. All of the people who believed God possessed the promise. What does that mean? It may be 1,000,000 to 1, but I'm getting my promise. The new covenant child of God is called to believe God said, with all their spirit, with all their mind, with all their emotions. Guard your mouth. David said, set a watch over my mouth that I don't sin against you. Guard your heart, for out of it are the issues, the seeds of life. You see, the word issue there refers to seed. Guard your heart, for out of it are the seeds that will grow the crop you're going to have to eat. Positive or negative. Therefore, what comes out of my heart and out of my mouth has got to be in agreement with the Word, because I want to eat victory, not defeat. Amen. Guard your spirit. Fear not, little sheep. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you all the promises of the kingdom. Believing God is an art form best practiced by those who are Word equipped to do so. Pastor, what does that mean? If you were trying to write that down, I'll come back to it in a second. What that means is this. I begin with the foundation of the gospel. He is risen. I build on that everything he conquered when he was raised, everything he defeated when he was raised, and everything he attained when he was raised. That's the gospel. That's why Paul could boldly say, you're seated with him because you're risen with him. If you're risen with him, you're seated with him. If you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then nothing is impossible for you. But if your believing is based upon what you think, what you feel, what you perceive, what you believe is going on out there, then you're a loser waiting for a place to pity yourself. But when you go to God's Word and find whatever God has promised in the new covenant, whatever you find that he's promising there, you know it's empowered because he's resurrected. That Word that was born as a human, took on flesh, lived and died, encountering every situation of life, was tempted in all manner as are we, that Word was then judged, crucified, buried, resurrected to prove the Word is more powerful than all the lies and tricks and schemes of the wicked one.
Amen.
The foundation of my faith is He is risen, which proves the Word is greater than anything the devil can bring.
Yeah.
The devil brought his best and it wasn't enough.
Right.
Hey, none of us ever faced the devil's best. But the little bit we did face sometimes scared us senseless. But be not afraid. The Word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, which is the word of faith that we preach, that He is risen. Church, don't be like the 10 who didn't get to go in. Be like the 2 who knew their God was faithful. They believed in a time of law and inherited the promises.
Wow.
You're believing in a time of grace with a better covenant and better promises.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
A new BMW is nice, but a new BMW with twin turbo is nice. I can take courage from what they got. They believe God. They got the promised land. But, hon, I got twin turbos. He is risen and I am seated. And that empowers me to believe God on a higher level with better promises. And nothing shall be impossible to those that believe. But don't let your foundation of faith be shaken. Your foundation is the Word has already stood the test. And I have won over all the rest. And when somebody comes by, don't get offended because they check in your faith. Joshua's passing out who gets what real estate. Caleb says, I want my mountain. And Joshua goes, there's giants on that mountain. And he goes, ain't no thing. The God that preserved me in the wilderness, He'll keep me on the mountain. Give me my mountain.
Yes. Yes.
I want you to go forth from this place looking for your mountain. Your mountain may be financial. Your mountain may be spiritual. Your mountain may be emotional. Your mountain may be whatever. But your word is already proven. Triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Pastor, what are the keys of death, hell, and the grave? You got a New Testament, you got the keys. Take one of those keys and unlock. With His stripes you were healed. Take one of them keys and unlock. He became poor that you might become rich. Take one of those keys and unlock. I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability.
Amen.
You have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. The Word lived, died, was resurrected, is seated triumphant. Therefore, you and the Word can unlock any problem. Don't let your foundations of faith be shaken. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. So whatever the world has, Nancy, we step back and go, bring it. I got the Word. You got to develop an attitude. What? You brought a knife to a gunfight? Pastor, what does that mean? Those that are with us are greater than those that are against us. You brought doubt, fear, and unbelief to a word fight? Father, I say that this people is the redeemed of the Lord. The word of truth lives richly in them and quickens them fully. Father, they shall not lack in any area your word is covered for them. For there are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to every area that pertains to life and godliness. And by laying hold of those promises and activating them in their life, they become partakers of the divine nature, ruling and reigning in the earth as kings and priests unto God. Father, I pastor the wealthiest group of people and the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Nothing shall be impossible for them because they believe. They find a promise of your new covenant. They become one with that promise and they possess its fullness because they are the redeemed of the Lord. And they say so. And the people said,
Amen.
You're loved, you're blessed, go with God. Wednesday night, we will be back at it. For the first month or so of the new year, all of the Sunday messages will be on the subject of faith.